Well, from oil prices to that other significant measure of our economic well-being, home ownership. You may have heard about states banding together to sue the country's five largest mortgage servicers for violating state laws when processing foreclosures. This month, state attorneys general submitted a settlement proposal that they hope the banks will accept in a couple of months. If they do, big-name institutions such as Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup would be required to overhaul their mortgage servicing policies. But what about federal mortgage programs, the very ones that encouraged banks to issue so many subprime loans, often to low-income or minority homeowners, to begin with? They, too, are under scrutiny. In her latest contribution to the Globe's op-ed page, columnist Joanna Weiss mounts a full-throated defense of one particular subsidized loan product, the soft second mortgage, which she says has made a world of difference in some Boston neighborhoods.
The soft second mortgage is a particular mortgage product that's available in Massachusetts to people who qualify. It's available to people who make 80% of their area median income, and it offers them a favorable rate and a lower down payment. You don't need that 20% down payment. And in some cases, there's a public subsidy. So it's an affordable housing loan.
Mm-hmm. And it was born out of this amazing 1989 federal study that found, I mean, this is a history that's very well-known by some people in Boston, that found just discrimination in the housing market.
That's right. This was the study that led to the term redlining. Mm-hmm. This showed that banks were actually taking areas on the map that they served with branches, and they were not servicing them with loans, and in many cases also with ATMs.
So the soft second is a program that essentially forces banks to make their products available to make money and mortgages available for people who were being systematically shut out or might not have been able to afford housing in our very expensive housing market.
Well, it doesn't force anybody to do anything. It's a voluntary program. It does help banks meet their requirements under the Community Reinvestment Act, which is a federal law that encourages banks, kind of requires them to offer credit in low and moderate income neighborhoods. So if you're a bank that offers soft second loans, you kind of get your CRA credit that way, mm-hmm. but it's a completely voluntary program.
And Joanna, I think what I found really eye-opening in your column is that you point out that the median income in Boston for family of four is $82,000.
So, I mean, isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
It just tells you what kinds of occupations would fall under that level. I mean, that shuts a whole lot of people out of the housing market without some sort of assistance.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just thinking like most jobs that you can imagine. I mean, not all, but most would fall under that. So this, you know, it seems like you're saying the soft second is a very important program that makes the possibility of being a homeowner a little more real for many Bostonians. Is soft second under danger?
I don't think it's under danger, except to the extent that the Community Reinvestment Act is under some degree of scrutiny. There's a lot of debate over what caused the financial crisis, and some people have, I think, showered a lot of attention on the CRA as something that helped kind of encourage a lowering of lending standards across the board. On the other hand, it's good to remember that over 90% of the subprime loans that were issued in Massachusetts were done by lenders who did not have any of these CRA regulations or responsibilities. So the crazy subprime loans that we heard about with 0% down and, you know, crazy interest rates, those weren't CRA loans. Those were just regular mortgage lenders taking advantage of a crazy situation. The foreclosure rate for the soft second is below the state average. It's certainly below the rate of foreclosures on million-dollar homes. And in all, over the past 20 years, there have been a little more than 15,000 of these loans issued. In all, 119 of them have been foreclosed, under 1%.
So a tiny, tiny fraction.
You know, the soft second loan requires you to get education. It requires you to put down some down payment. So these aren't fly-by-night loans. These are loans where you have to prove a certain amount of stability and ability to pay.
Well, you actually spoke with someone, Esther Maycock Thorne, who mm-hmm. has a soft second mortgage. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, she got a soft second mortgage in about 2002. She was working as a budget analyst at the time. She was making $41,000 per year. She was living with her two daughters in Mattapan, and they were moving around year to year because the rents were going up at just unsustainable levels. $50, $100 a month would mean the difference for her, you know, in terms of whether she could pay her bills, buy food, buy medicine. So she qualified for a soft second loan. She bought a house in Brockton with four bedrooms, and she said her daughters immediately felt this amazing sense of security that they hadn't had before. They had, for the first time in their lives, a stable home.
Well, Joanna Weiss, columnist for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a link to Joanna Weiss's column on the soft second mortgage. You can find it on our website, radioboston.org.
And coming up after a quick break, 2 months after Tucson, the search for compromise in Washington and Massachusetts about gun control. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.